Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him. Ladies, he's technically not single, so don't get too excited. Scott Steyert, and he is with AeroPrecisionUSA.com, former Green Beret Delta Force operative as well. So thanks so much for being on the show, Scott. He brings a very interesting perspective. And there are a couple things we're going to be talking about today. Well, I just can't wait to hear what you have to say, Scott, to be honest with you. There's a couple scenarios that I just got to get your input on. And right now, let me just jump to our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring the show to you. We got our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, and also AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Scott's company. And they are our arm sponsor, and they've got it going on. You'll hear a little bit more about them and their product line in a second. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and also FishOrlandoBass.com. And they do bass fishing charters in Orlando area and also alligator hunting. But you're catching and releasing. It's really more like catching and relocating the Florida alligator. It could be fun. I know there's some people out there that think, yeah, I'd like to wrestle an alligator, you know? So a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian, and also Ray Diedrich with FormerLawman.com. And finally, Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Here we go. Oklahoma operation. It nets 120 illegal immigrant arrests. And what makes this so unique? Why am I so excited about covering this? Because 91 of them were commercial truck drivers and they had their CDLs. Yeah. And wait till you hear the states that are giving them these licenses, these illegals. And then we get a gun rights groups, plural. They challenge a California Glock ban signed by Governor Newsom. So, yeah, they're blocking the sale of Glock guns that have certain kinds of triggers in them. Then we got Milwaukee police release dash cam video of an off-duty fatal officer shooting. It's more like a road rage incident. Wait till you guys hear about that. We got a suspect who stabs him. This is one of the stories, Scott, I want to get your input on. The suspect stabs himself and a woman. He ends up being fatally shot inside a Dollar General store. But there were a lot of missing. A lot of things weren't adding up. A lot of flags going off. We cover a lot of this stuff, right? And I'm sure Scott picked up on some of the same stuff. I did a little bit more research. I haven't gotten with Scott about it yet, but wait till you hear what the real story is. It's going to blow your mind. And then we got, here's your kid, Missouri woman. I think her last name's Steyert, allegedly hands a former lover a cooler with a fetus in it. I'm joking about the last name, but this is a story you don't want to miss. And then we got the Oklahoma City police officer that shoots and wounds a suspect when he starts throwing boards and bricks at the officer. Officer gets injured. And then Lenexa police, they release a 911 call and body cam from a June incident that left the man dead. So, yeah, if you're ready, Scott, let's jump into this. You ready? All right. Put the seatbelt on. It's going to be a wild ride. So look, our first story, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Oklahoma op, they net 120 illegal immigrant arrests, 91 commercial truck drivers with the CDL. So here we go. This operation was only a three-day operation. And it was a special operation along Interstate 40 in western Oklahoma, of all places. It was conducted by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, so that's ICE. But they were doing it in partnership with the Oklahoma Highway Patrol under the 287G program, which allows them to become temporary ICE officers enforcing federal law on illegal aliens. And it resulted in the arrest of 120 illegal aliens. A three-day operation, 120 illegal aliens. And the scary stuff is that these are the guys driving these tractor trailers on our roads. And we know, we saw the video recently about one of them, you know, who was from California. But, you know, whole family got taken out, and he acted like he could have cared less. The operation that we're talking about, it took place from September the 22nd through the 25th. It focused on disrupting criminal activity and threats to public safety through vigorous traffic enforcement. Now, these troopers, and again, this is the Oklahoma troopers, they were credentialed by ICE as designated immigration officers under the special 287G program. It's the called the task force model. And they made approximately 520 total contacts. So 120 arrests, 520 contacts. These guys are busy. ICE officers provided assistance because they're the guys running records checks on foreign-born nationals that they encountered during this patrol. And the majority of arrests were commercial truck drivers. So listen to the stats on this, Scott. It's going to blow your mind. So we already know that there's 120 illegal aliens arrested. 91. Now, this is commercial motor vehicle operators with CDLs. 91 were arrested with these CDLs, commercial truck drivers. And citizenship of the arrested CDL drivers was wide-ranging, with the largest groups from India. There were 39 from India. I don't even know how to pronounce the 13 from Uzbekistan, or however you pronounce it, and then 12 from China. And then we got the CDLs were issued by numerous states, but 44 came from California, of all places, Gavin Newsom. 14 from New York, yeah, and 12 from Pennsylvania. And then those that were arrested from passenger vehicles, 27. And 9 of those arrested had prior deportation records, with 6 having been deported 2 or more times. And then there were 2 arrested at a marijuana grow operation. Where did they come from? How did that get slid into there? The criminal activity associated with the 120 illegals, it included, these guys are bad guys. I can't believe that, you know, that they got into the country. So the 120 illegals that were arrested, they had priors, they had multiple DUI convictions, illegal reentries into the United States, money laundering, human smuggling, assault, conspiracy to distribute cocaine, and possession of a controlled dangerous substance. Thank you very much, Joe Biden, and the radicals who voted for him to get in the office.
Yeah, right, it's right. Crazy. I think with the amount of success they had with this, I would be surprised if they don't start doing it all over the country.
They're trying to get more states to jump on the bandwagon. I mean, yeah. We know it's not going to be California and New York and some of these others, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you could look at states like, you can look at Wyoming, where they have 25 and 80, they intersect right there, two major corridors going, I mean, stuff like that, just planning like these checkpoints, but extremely successful. The crazy thing is like they had their CDL, illegal immigrants. I mean, CDL. So, and you know, California and New York, obviously they don't check or anything like that. But you know, it's like what are they thinking? I mean, these are jobs that could go to Americans. I mean,
what I'm thinking.
Truck drivers. That's a great job. It's a very good paying job.
Yeah.
For most people. Are capable of doing that. So it blows my mind. And I'll tell you, with the way I think and my background, if I say, let's say if I wanted to get access to a country, and let's say that maybe I'm working for the government or something like, or if I'm wanting to get in there to gain information to figure things out, or if I wanted to do something bad or sabotage, you would go in. You would start working in that country. You would have, you know, you would gain access and placement to certain things. Now, I know it might be a little bit out there, but when you start hearing about all these potential attacks that are coming, and it's going to be coordinated attacks, and then you have all these illegal immigrants with CDLs that are driving trucks that could carry explosives or whatever, you know, that's how I think. And it just freaks me out. There definitely needs to be some control on that. I mean, this is just, it's out of control. It's what happened. I mean, when it was just a few here and there and people get through, nothing's perfect. But when you have millions coming in, they're unchecked and undocumented and you don't know who they are. And now they're driving CDL trucks and God knows what they have access to and placements to. It's kind of scary when you think about it in those terms.
These guys are on the road. They're away from their families. The pay's not bad at all. And I'm thinking about how many Americans, that's 120 Americans that could have been driving the trucks. And, you know, assuming that, you know, COVID didn't spoil them or they're not living in mom and dad's basement still, you know, playing video games or whatever, you know, but you know, scary stuff. So, and these are the guys, you know, that, you know, they just, you know, not only taking away jobs, we know, you know, the roads aren't safe. Get these guys out of this country. You know, I have no sympathy. All right. If you're ready to move on, that was just what a great way to start off the show. We got a little over a minute before we take our first commercial break, guys. And this next story, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, gun rights groups, they challenge a California Glock ban that's signed by Governor Newsom. This is all about the trigger. So a coalition of major Second Amendment organizations, they filed this new federal lawsuit in California challenging Assembly Bill 1127. It's also known as the California Glock ban. And it's for guns with, I guess I may butcher the name, but it's called a cruciform trigger bar. And they can be easily converted to go full auto. And that's what this whole thing is. So now, because the bad guys have figured out how to convert these things, you know, now they're trying to make, you know, the law-abiding citizens suffer because they can't be sold in California. Governor Newsom, you know, banned these things. So this legal action, it's known by the James versus Bonta. It's filed in the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of California on Monday. Stick around, guys. We're going to cover this and a lot more stuff. Commercial break will be like that. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, and we buy gear, right? But there's a company out there that has everything but guns and ammo, and it is at Gauls.com. But, you know, even when we go to make our decision on where we're going to be buying our stuff, and when you throw the online mix, the choices are limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important in the scope of all this stuff. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And we're not done. Not only that, they support dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. When you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code, or they've given it to me. I'm going to give it to you, and you get 15% off your next purchase. It's Radio 15, so type in Radio 15 to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. You guys will be very glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. It said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you, or Scott. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com, and make sure you watch the cool videos. Yes. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Scott Steyert from Aero Precision USA at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And I know that we've got a, when we left off here, let me see here. We were doing the update here, the gun rights group. So let me get to that. And someone's asking Scott a question, so I'll let him read that on the screen while I'm going through this. But this coalition of people that are going up against Governor Newsom in California, because he's done the Assembly Bill 1127, also known as the California Glock ban. And Newsom, look, they're banning this popular pistol because of the type of trigger that it has, because bad guys have been able to convert it to go essentially very similar to full auto. So the legal action being taken against these guys to try to stop the prohibition against the sale of Glocks, it's called James versus Bonta, and it's filed in the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of California, and this was just filed on Monday. The lawsuit was brought by the Second Amendment Foundation, also the National Rifle Association. We've all heard of NRA and the Firearms Policy Coalition. So some of these are new names maybe you guys haven't heard of. And also, there is a firearms retailer involved in the lawsuit, and we have two private citizens. So the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, it's a sister organization to the SAF, which, of course, is the Second Amendment Foundation. They quickly hailed the new legal action, and they're not a plaintiff in the James versus Bonta, but they stated that they're watching the case closely. Now, here's a note or a quote from a chairman, Alan Gottlieb, and it's from the Citizens Committee. And he said that the court has already held that several provisions of the Unsafe Handgun Act likely violate the Second Amendment. And he also goes on to say that, but instead of taking a hint from the court, Governor Newsom has doubled down by signing this new legislation, that this new ban is flagrantly unconstitutional and Newsom must know it. And Gottlieb goes on to say he accuses the governor and the Sacramento Democrats of playing a game of one-upmanship with the courts and the Constitution, suggesting that they did not get the memo from the U.S. Supreme Court of course, they just handed down a decision, and that, you know, this is the Second Amendment. It's not a second class right. He goes on to say, finally, that you don't fight crime by restricting the rights of peaceable, law-abiding citizens. You know, bad guys, as we've always said, they can always get a hold of the gun. So it doesn't make sense. But Scott, I know that you're a big Second Amendment guy. So what do you think?
Well, I'm the first thing that comes to mind is, wow, that's very creative. A very creative way to ban a particular handgun. You know, how it functions internally. And the crazy thing is, I mean, I don't know what the actual number is, but I would say the majority of all the handguns used in law enforcement are Glocks. So it's just kind of ironic. And how does that also mean that law enforcement in the state of California are not able to use Glocks?
No. So they have carved a provision out to where, look, this is just a sale, but they can still sell to law enforcement. So they've got, I think law enforcement and military, they can still sell to, but you can transfer a gun from one person to another, but it's just talking about, you know, the sale. But listen to this, the Glock trigger is so popular that even, you know, I carry a Taurus Slim and it has a Glock trigger. I mean, the Glock trigger, you know, with that little reset. It's just such a smooth shooting gun. If you know how to use that trigger in that way, you can do very nice controlled shots. If you have the time to do controlled shots, oh my gosh, the reset is just sweet on that. But other manufacturers are mimicking that trigger. So I suspect that the trigger that I have in my Taurus would be susceptible to being banned in the state of California, which I'm going to in 4 weeks.
Well, it's weird too, because okay, I get the full auto thing, and in some ways it's like it's scary, and a full auto and say like a crew serve weapon that's heavy, it's on a tripod or a bipod, yeah, it's and you have belt fed ammo, I mean that's extremely dangerous, right? However, a Glock, you're talking a full auto handgun, I mean, the accuracy of that thing is non-existent. So, I mean, it's not going to be an accurate firearm. And it's just so funny. Has like, is that, and I wonder how many Glocks do they actually find on the streets that are full auto? I mean, is it even a thing? I mean,
in some locales, I've seen them show, and we covered stories where they've had like a sear or, you know, some workaround, but normally not. Normally it's just the high capacity magazines or maybe a drum magazine. But there are some out there, but I'm with you. I don't see it. Look, in all my years in law enforcement, have I ever come across, I worked in the gun unit. So I was exposed to a ton of guns for quite a while, never came across a full auto, one that had been altered or not, never have no recollection ever coming across one. It's never been a thing. High capacities, rounds and ammos and stuff, yeah, but not the full auto. And although that there are some series of stuff floating out there, I mean, look, let's face it. You know, you get an AR and put a sear in that sucker. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to convert almost any gun.
I don't think this is going to hold up at all.
I don't see it.
This
either.
Is just a way for him to be annoying and to be a thorn in it. And the two-way side, it's typical Gavin. he thinks he can just do whatever he wants. So
I'm with you now. As far as the question that was posed to you, they're asking who do you think is going to win the Monday night football game? What your pick?
Yeah, I saw that, and I still can't respond here. On I don't know what it is. I don't mean I gotta sign.
Well, no, I'm asking just verbally.
But verbally, I would say. Oh, you know, obviously I want Tampa to win. I do like the Lions. I want Tampa to win. I think, and you know, with my heart, I want Tampa to win, but also I would have to say, I think Tampa's going to pull it off. They are on a streak. Baker Mayfield is legit. I like that guy so much. He is a great quarterback. He knows how to make things happen. And so Tampa seems to be hot now. And Detroit's kind of, I don't know. I think they might have hit a plateau or something like that. So I think given the fact that Tampa's hot, they have a great team and Baker, And then Detroit, they're kind of, you know, maybe like just stumbling a little bit. I think Tampa can pull off the
win. All right. That's what I want to hear. There you go, George. Hey, I've been asking, I got a lot of questions here. Thanks for the telling me I pronounced that name correctly. And we're doing a Gulls gift card giveaway tomorrow, a $50 Gulls gift card giveaway. Right now, we've got a commercial break coming up, guys. And we got a story for the video component coming up as well. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to introduce to you guys Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about Scott's favorite subject, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt action. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Scott Steyer from Aero Precision. And while we've had a good show talking about a lot of really interesting things right now, Scott just did the breakdown of the Aero, their three tier options on the Aero rifles, which I love. And I had to ask him about how he would trick out a SWAT sniper. And it was incredible information. So guys, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, check that out. Scott, anything you want to add before we go to our first story with a video component?
Nope.
All right. So moving along, guys. And look, we're going to be talking about a couple of stories that video components. Look, this is a live show. Too difficult to try the show, live videos in a live show. And plus, a lot of our listeners, you know, in radio land and podcast are not going to be able to see it anyhow. So here's the deal. We will describe every story that we're talking about in extremely, in great detail, so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. And our show, of course, is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, Eastern time, 12 to 1 o'clock p.m. Now, if there's a video that we talk about that you want to see, and there's one or two that you may fit the bill, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. A special version of the live show comes out. So it's a copy of the live show from the day before, but our producer will embed every video that we talk about into it as we're talking about it, and pictures of the good guys will pop up as we're talking about them. So it's a great way to watch a show. That happens Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. So this story was taken from Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Milwaukee police, they released dash cam video of an off-duty fatal officer involved shooting.
Fuck are you doing?
This is pretty wild, guys. This is the one I thought was maybe a kind of like a road rage incident. It's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, that's where Sheriff David Clark used to be. Milwaukee police released dash cam video showing an off-duty officer. He shoots and kills Elijah Wilkes after Wilkes' family called for the early release of the video. Look, I am so impressed with this family. They got their heads screwed on straight. It's just amazing. Normally, we got people calling Ben Crump and they're crying foul and this and that. Not this family. The confrontation occurred between Elijah Wilkes and an off-duty Milwaukee Police Department officer, happened on Thursday in Milwaukee. And we have our bad guy, Wilkes, 26 years old. He died after an exchange of gunfire with the officer. So the family called the shooting justified, and they wanted the video released because they believe it shows everything that happened. The off-duty officer shot and killed Wilkes after the video shows Wilkes hit him with his gun. The bad guy hit the officer with the bad guy's gun. Police say the officer's dash cam video, it shows the pair involved in a crash. And this is the weird thing. There's like a dash cam on the off-duty officer's car, so you can't tell whether it's an SUV, a car. I'm assuming it was a police car or cruiser, or you know, or at least a department car. But I don't really know. I'm only looking over the hood of the car. But you see, this guy in the right lane is two lanes of traffic. The bad guy's car. In all fairness, he's running out of lane. There's some construction going on up ahead, and he's going to either have to merge or hit his brakes. And then merge later on. But so our off-duty cop is driving. There's a car in front of him, not much room between the two cars. And then our bad guy, he's coming over whether the cop wants him to or not, right? And then right at the time he wants to switch lanes, the guy in front of the police car hits his brakes, and which closes the distance. And our bad guy comes over and he clips the front of the right front fender of the police car. And they end up going past the road construction, and then they pull over on the side of the road. Bad guy gets out. Now we're looking at a dash cam, so we can't really see a lot of what happens, but he approaches the off-duty cop off camera. You can't see what's going on then, but then they walk into the camera view. And so the cop is, you know, he's not really wearing a uniform. He's wearing just like he's a big guy. He's overweight. If he was on the National Guard, they would have already pulled him off the line already. But he's looking at the front damage. I'm sorry, Scott, I couldn't hold back on that one. But he's looking at the damage, and when he looks down at the damage, the dude that hit him, he had his, when he's walking up on the cop, he had his hand in his pocket the whole time. He has his hand in his pocket, and it's hard to see, but apparently he had a gun in his hand, and he hits the cop in the freaking head. And the cop's taken back, and then the bad guy backs away from the cop. So he's back in between the two cars that have stopped, the police car and his car. And he has the gun in his hand, and he points at the cop. And I tell you, this cop did, for having that long T-shirt on that was like way too long, how he did that quick draw, I have no idea how he got that pistol. But the cop drew lightning fast, and I don't think the bad guy got a shot off. It looked like the cop just unloaded on the bad guy. Bad guy goes down on the other side of the bad guy's car. So out of sight, comes in the view around his own front fender, and the cop's waiting for him. Boom, 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 boom. And then unloads on him again. And that's the way that ends. Bad guy dies. So Scott Steyer, take it from here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just like you said, I mean, he was able to get that pistol out really, really quick, and actually get, I think his first shot was on target. There was one that was, I think maybe his second or third shot after that, and this, but first shot was on target. Great job. And you know what, but the crazy thing is like he came out there, the guy, and he's a cop, so I'm sure he's like aware of what this guy's doing. The guy's hand was in the pocket of his like shirt or jacket or whatever. I don't know. He just acted like he wasn't even worried about it. I mean,
you're right.
Which is crazy to me, which I think, you know, which again, I mean, he was going out there. He was trying to address it. He's like, hey, what are you doing? He gave this guy every opportunity. But I mean, if that guy, instead of wanting to hit him in the face, if he wanted to pull it out and shoot him in the head, it was game over. You know what I mean? Yeah. But scary situation. It worked out very, very well. The cop did an amazing job. Kudos to him. He seems like he had composure all the way through it. He was able to get really good shots off, maintain his composure all the way through. Saw the guy, and then he knew. He's like, he got down behind the bad guy, went around the front of the car, and he was right there, and he was giving commands, and he was waiting for him. And sure enough, guy pops out with his gun, and it was just a duck shoot, man.
Yeah, I would have loved them seeing, you know, the cop was kind of like, you know, off to the side, so almost off camera. So I kind of wish at least he was ready, because when the bad guy popped around the front fender of his car, if the cop wasn't ready for that, he could have taken the cop out, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was a pretty exciting shoot. I hate to say it, but it was a pretty exciting shoot. You know, the cop, you know, when he was driving, the cop probably was not aware that lane was shutting down, that the guy in that other lane, he didn't have anywhere to really go. I mean, he could hit his brakes, but, you know, I don't know that the cop was aware that the guy was running out of a lane, you know. But even if the cop wanted to let him over, the car in front of the cop car hit his brakes and you know, minimized the distance. So I was watching the video just saying, just let the guy over, you know, but I was seeing some stuff that was coming up on the road construction that maybe the cop wasn't aware of. I don't know. But
either way, I mean, you could say that, but then it's like, is it really worth pulling out a gun and trying to shoot somebody over something like that.
This guy, I mean, was just obviously mad.
Dude.
You think it was like a road rage? I mean, to me, it seemed like this dude would just have the road rage. He was just mad. And
road rage. Yeah. And people just get so mad while driving. I used to be that guy. I used to get, I'm driving. And now that I've gotten older, it's like, I don't let it bother me anymore. I mean, I really don't. It's just, I'm not letting this person who can't drive or whatever get in my head so much that I get angry and my blood pressure goes up and I'm screaming. I used to be that guy. Now, of course, I would never go out and pull out a gun. I mean, I wouldn't even pull over to stop or anything, because it's like, you don't know what you're going to get. Is it worth me going out, what, to yell at somebody and possibly confront somebody or punch somebody or whatever? And why? That person might have a gun. It's like, it's not worth it. It's just, to me, it's not worth it. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So this is one of those videos you guys may want to watch that we were talking about. So, moving along, we've got a, are you ready to move on, Scotty?
Absolutely.
Our next one, yeah, we're not going to be able to cover all this before the commercial break. But guys, this is something you don't want to miss. This is like, I had to get another article with the more information on this. So it's rumble.com. This is Butter again, is the channel. But there is another article that I had to pull up to get more information. So it's titled "Suspect Who Stabbed Himself and Woman and a Woman is Fatally Shot Inside of a Dollar General Store."
Get off her, dude. Put your thing away. Get off her, dude. Get off her. Get off her. Dude, I'm not gonna tell you again.
Get off her now. One time. Trust for her.
Trust for her.
The video. Okay, let's look. We talk about flags. Look, I got about a minute and 25 seconds before we take our next commercial break. Stick with us, guys, please. You need to hear what happened in the story. So when I watched the video, there's a lot of you know, they dither a lot, and it was done in such a way, it made me question why the dithering was there. And now, having got another article and read, because that was the first flag, I'm thinking, I put down in my show notes what I thought was going on. I have to say that to me, it looks like maybe the agency was trying to hide some stuff that happened, because it just looks so, when you know what really happened, it just looks so bad for the agency. And then in the other report, confirmed my suspicions. So this is in Youngstown, Ohio. And I'm going to whet the appetite for the story. We're going to go to the commercial break. When we come back, we'll get to the nitty gritty. But the Mahoning County Coroner's Office, they identify a dude, so you know that somebody died, right? A 50-year-old Shane Linderman is our bad guy, and they did an autopsy conducted by the Cayuga County Medical Examiner's Office. So that's where we'll leave it. The bad guy died, and actually, the female ended up dying too. Guys, you're not going to believe this story. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko that we had on the show yesterday. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. And again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Scott Steyer from AeroPrecisionUSA.com and also former Green Beret and Delta Force operator. You know, we left off talking about a story. I can't wait to get to this. There's so many moving parts in this. We have a suspect who stabs himself and a female. He ends up being fatally shot inside of a Dollar General store, and this happens in Youngstown, Ohio. And medical examiner said this guy's 50 years old. And so the incident starts about 5 o'clock p.m. It happens at a Tuesday at the Dollar General store. And you know what? Let me just, you know, the initial report doesn't really give a lot of information. It talks about Youngstown police and that our bad guy stabs himself along with another woman. Police get there and the woman's unresponsive. And then they end up shooting the bad guy and he dies at the scene and the female's in critical condition at the hospital, right? But there's a lot of dithering going on and it's really hard to see what happens, which raised an important flag for me. So let's go to the second article. I'll have a link to it. It's written by Joe Gorman. Man killed by police was at hospital with woman whose throat he slit an hour before the attack. Oh, yeah. Here we go. And this is Youngstown, Ohio from WKBN. So this guy was shot and killed by police. And this happened in September at a Northside store. He ended up cutting his girlfriend's throat inside the store with a knife and a box cutter. And he was at the St. Elizabeth Health Center with the woman for over an hour before he ended up dying. Now, the report by the State Bureau of Criminal Identification, they investigated this. It happened on September the 10th. And it looks like it was 2024, actually. So it wasn't 2025. It happened a year ago. The death of Shane Linderman, 50 years old. He was shot and killed by city police inside this Dollar General store. They said that Linderman, he had slit his own throat either just before or after he slit the throat of Maureen Stopperich. So the names are, you know, somewhat similar, but he was with Maureen, who's 56 years old. So two officers respond to the scene after there's a 911 call that goes out about 5:15 in the afternoon. They find Linderman, our guy, inside the store. He's kneeling over the female. Now, they've dithered this whole thing. So all you do, you see the dude, you see him leaning over something that's dithered. That's it. Cops are giving him, well, he's told several times to get off of her. And you hear the cops say, get off of her. So that's why I'm thinking, okay, there's a freaking victim there. I know that he stabbed the victim because the reports, the article says that, but he's not moving. And he's talking to cops. He's incoherent. And you can't understand what he's saying. And I'm thinking, this dude's like wasted on like drugs. He's been smoking meth or something. But it's because he damaged his vocal cords when he slit his throat. And that's why you can't understand anything that he's saying to the cops. He's going like, that's what he sounds like, you know? And it was making, so now it makes sense. And so they can't, look, if I'm worried about this chick bleeding out. If you've got a bad guy that's not moving, you go lethal all day long. I mean, there is just, I these officers look like deer in the headlights. They didn't know what to friggin' do. And even after this shooting goes down and they're all like hanging out and you see him showing up and they've dithered the body, but they're standing over the female's body. She's still freaking alive. There's nobody down doing CPR or anything on her. They're all talking. I think that they thought that she was dead, but she had been sliced open her neck. And they say, well, where's the guy that pulled the trigger? Oh, he's over there. And you got three cops standing around. And she, and I'm just, you know, there's just so many things that are so, make me so uncomfortable at watching this. So the officer has shown, this guy won't get off the woman. And they're having this exchange with him while she's bleeding out, right? She ends up dying in the hospital later on. We'll get to that in a second. But the officer shown, he holsters his weapon. And this is after another officer tells him to go taser. The dude's there. He's got, you know, they didn't necessarily see the knife in his hand, but when he stands up, he's got an object in his hand, but no one's grabbing him or anything. He's just on top of this woman that's bleeding out. So when the guy says, the partner tells him to go taser, he gets black gloves out. He's putting the latex gloves on and stuff, taking his time. And one of the officers tells investigators he fired because he saw something in the bad guy's hand when he stands up. But the officer backs up because his weapon ends up jamming. He clears the jam and he fires three more times before the bad guy stops moving. When the bad guy stands up, our cop that's putting on the gloves, what'd you do? He grabs his freaking taser and starts backing up. Yeah, he goes taser. The other cop who ended up having the jam. Now think about this. If he wouldn't have been able to get it cleared, you got the other cop, his partner that's in charge of saving his life. He's armed with what? A freaking taser. And the bad guy's, you know, attacking his partner with a freaking knife, right? And then so our bad guy gets hit and drags away from Stopperich. He's handcuffed and given first aid. That's what they say. I didn't see that part. The officer who did not fire his weapon, he saw a large knife near the body of the bad guy, and they have a still shot that shows the knife is in his, he's still gripping the knife before he's handcuffed. The officer who fired the shots said he didn't see what was in the bad guy's hand when he was moving forward, but he fired his weapon because he was in fear of his life. And it says that Stopperich, the female, survived her wounds in the store only to die in October the 16th, a month later at the Cleveland Clinic, and her death is ruled a homicide. WKBN, they didn't name the officer who fired the shots because he's not being charged with a crime. The real reason I suspect they're not naming him is because, you know, there's going to be some, the guy that fired the shots, you know, both these officers had an issue because the female likely, in my opinion, bled out because there was just too much time taken. But according to the report, the guy that ended up doing the shooting, 6-year veteran of the police department. So there you have it. We've got almost 4 minutes to talk about this. Scott Steyer.
That's a lot. It's crazy to me how, so they ended up shooting the guy eventually, which, like you said, I'm like, what is going on here? I mean, and when I was watching it, because it's just blacked out, I didn't see a lot of it. I was like, what's going on here? So I just kind of went forward to see if like there was something that shows up later. But with all that information, it's like, it makes you wonder, like, okay, so they shot the bad guy eventually. And then they're giving him first aid. Is what they said. And I think I actually saw him go over there, and they're like looking at him and dealing with him. Meanwhile, the victim is not even being touched, which is crazy to me. It's like, why is there so much concern over the bad guy who they just shot and trying to help him out or whatever, but the victim's laying on the ground bleeding to death. It's kind of weird. Now again. You know, it could have been such a blatant cut. Like, you're like, man, there's no way. But still, you can't assume that somebody is dead already. I mean, isn't it like a procedure where you're supposed to go up there and check and, you know, the pulse and try to see? Because, I mean, for everything I've seen, they didn't do anything with her, from what I could tell.
Yeah, I mean, I admit that. Look, I normally, when I come across videos that are heavily dithered, I normally don't cover them because it's just. There's so much other stuff that we cover where we got great video. So why waste the time? The reason why I felt compelled to cover this is because I honestly felt that they were covering stuff up. And that's why I felt compelled to do that. The female now that was laying there, maybe they'll say that the dither was there and there was someone working on it that you couldn't see. But normally with the dither, you can see something, you know, it's a little transparent. You can see past it and stuff. I didn't see it, dude. It was so uncomfortable. And then just watching the dude standing around, the three guys, and one of them kind of looking down and grimacing. And I can only imagine the amount of blood where their throat slit open. You know, I just don't think these guys had ever seen in this town anything like this before. Didn't know what to do, and it just looked like they were so far out of their element and had no clue of what to do. Just standing around looking and just like talking to Billy Bob and stuff. You know, it just you know. I know I'm Monday morning quarterbacking. But I was a cop for 30 years. I've seen a lot of crap. I've seen a lot, and a lot of death. I've had people die in my arms. I've been right there, stab wounds, gun wounds, you know, all kinds of stuff. And these guys, it looked like the first time they'd ever seen anything like this.
Well, that brings up a good point. Have you ever, like, let's say, like going back to let's say going back to the very first extremely vile, violent thing you've ever witnessed. After the fact, did you act a certain way in order to kind of like almost try to convince yourself, like, hey, this is okay, this is normal, I can handle this? It's almost like a self-defense mechanism to where you're acting a certain way only because you're trying to cover up like how you really feel. And the reason why I bring that up is there was an incident overseas where there was an implanted Taliban guy in a unit, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he started shooting everybody in there. So there was like a lot of dead, and they pulled these guys out, and we're sitting there looking at him, and then this is the first time I've ever seen like a mass casualty, right? And right. There's like brains everywhere, and gets in, and so we're sitting there like kind of laughing and talking and whatever, and it was really weird. And it's like, I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't disrespecting. I wasn't trying to do that. But then our commander came over and said, hey, knock it off. These are their, these are friends of, you know, these are guys in the same unit. And I'm like, it just hit me. I'm like, man, that was so insensitive. And I can't believe that I did it in front of them, you know, but it's almost like just,
yeah, you can kind of,
in hindsight, I'm just thinking it's like, I'm trying to act like this doesn't bother me. It's like, no big deal. Like I've seen this before. And really I've never had.
Yeah, no, and that makes complete sense. When you see so much of that stuff, you get so hardened to it and you just don't think like normal people do. But hey, great show, Scott Starr. Thank you so much. The Wind of Blue, thewindofblue.org. Shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearner, my Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fisher, OrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.